Hey, everyone. It's just me here today, Kevin. Mads is out and about, so I'm going to try to get you through collecting the new universe. And truly, I got to tell you, this was something that in my wildest dreams, in my craziest or most sobering dreams, I would never dream of putting you on or talking about or even suggesting to you. But in this issue, I'm going to try to talk about why it makes sense to try and collect what is now the deadest of dead new universe, or I guess the sort of not quite dead, but officially put to bed kind of universe, the New Universe comics. And I think I mentioned this in the Origin or the Startup podcast, but I can remember when these books came out and thinking to myself, what horrendous, terribly horrific idea this was. It was talking about Shooter retiring, a whole bunch of stuff, or sort of saying, hey, we've got these whole set of successful characters out there, this insane group of popular comic book characters. And at the time, dear gracious, Marvel was humongous, and DC, while not an afterthought, certainly, was a second-class citizen in the comic book market. While many people weren't really aware of things, comic book collectors certainly were, and much more popular, or sold at greater numbers at the time. And Marvel, going into its 25th anniversary, these new universe comics were a pretty big gamble, and one that ultimately, obviously, failed pretty miserably. Now, looking across all these titles, and I've got the month that I'm reading in front of me, outside of probably Night Mask and maybe Justice, the titles go from not good to pretty awful and horrendous. Like, every time I look at Kickers Incorporated, I can't help but think of NFL Super Pro comic that came out a couple years later, and I think there was another really bad football comic before it. But, I mean, I've read Kickers Incorporated, and it is just bad. It is, of the eight titles, the clear worst of the bunch. But reading this first month, there is absolutely a lot good in it. Let me start from the beginning. The first reason you should collect these comics, without question, is they are dirt cheap. If your comic book store has a quarter bin or a dime bin or a nickel bin in it, they have New Universe comics in it. Trust me. Because initially, especially, these comics were pumped out and, I would say, marketed. Everything I'm reading says heavily marketed. I wouldn't call it heavily marketed, but they were certainly marketed. There was stuff out there. And right from the get-go, I can remember thinking to myself, these are horrendous. These are bad. The initial set of covers is pretty bad. Outside of, I think, Starbrand has a great cover on the first one, but Spitfire and the Troubleshooters is really bad, and Psi-Force as a cover is not very good, but there are a lot more people who have these than want them. My guess is, outside of a very few issues of these, you can find them dirt cheap, certainly much cheaper than a current newsstand comic. In fact, my guess is, of these eight titles, you can probably get certainly four of them, a complete run, for the price of a new comic book off the shelf. $4. And the other four, my guess is, you could probably find them. And just because some of those ending issues are pretty rare, my guess is you could find a full run, 32 issues, of any of these, at most, for around $1 an issue. So my guess is the most you're going to be dropping on any of these is $30. And I got a set of almost every new universe comic for, I want to say it was $80 shipped to me. And somebody said to me when they looked at it, they said, yeah, but you're missing some of the key issues of the new universe comics. And I think that may be the most ridiculous thing I ever said. When you talk about new universe keys, you are missing it. They're just, while some of the comics may be tougher to find, I think I saw one priced around $5, and I thought that was outrageous. I thought to myself, you know, a new comic off the shelf isn't that much more than that. And most of these, even like the annuals and stuff that run $1.25, you can find for, I would say, shipped to you somewhere between 50 cents and 75 cents, and more than likely sets or junks of these for quite a bit. So, price is the first issue, and thinking along the lines of a general readability, you know, no one's going to jump or, I mean, CGCing these is like throwing your money in the garbage. I can't even imagine any of these that slabbed is going to run you $10. Maybe some of the last issues of the Cyforce or maybe DP7 certainly could get up there, but good gravy. I mean, we're talking, wow, way up to $10 after a, you know, $20+ investment to get the thing looked at. And these are meant to be read, kids. These are, I've read through the first two issues of Starbrand and Spitfire and the first issue of the rest of them, so I'm not well into these, but some of them are pretty decent. You've got a weird group of people who are on all of these. You know, Shooter's in charge of the whole thing, and I'm going to get to more of that later. But sort of hand-in-hand with Tom DeFalco and Gruenwald and a lot of people really trying to break into the industry at the time, and people who made something of themselves subsequently. And I think I remember Portatio being mentioned in here or somebody, but this is beginning work of a lot of these artists who became something, or at the frankly, became nothing, but people who are really working hard, probably for Bupkis. There's something to be admired about that. People who are trying to break into this industry. Well, let's get to the other part of this, the whole shooterism behind it. If you found your way to my website, more than likely, you are a fan of Valiant Comics. And I gotta tell you, reading these reads like a roadmap toward what the Valiant Universe became. This is like your zero issue or experimental look at it. You can certainly say a lot of these characters are right in the lines of your prototype or typical characters. Spitfire and the Troubleshooters is Iron Man as a girl. Starbrand is Superman. DP7 and Cyforce are like sort of X-Men / Avengers team books. Merc is Nom for the time, which was sort of a realistic soldier thing. Justice is the Punisher. Nightmask is a little original, and I'll come back to that maybe, I don't know, this issue. I mean, again, Kickers Incorporated, I think, is pretty crummy. But you really see these archetypal or these prototypical characters coming out in all of this. But this attempt to really turn what comic books were again at the time. Think about the Silver Age with the coming of that bit of realism at the time and the Bronze really bringing reality to a head. But this is the sort of light on the horizon for what Valiant Comics would become. And there are a lot of things with that. First, you have this world outside of your window feeling. If you have any knowledge about the new universe, it's all based around this white event, and that's something that a lot of these comics are starting to refer to, either tangentially, or in one of the books, I think it was DP7, but it may have been, I think Psi-Force did it as well, they talk about this white event that has occurred that affected one in some number of people, and it turns them into or makes them become these superhero types, but they're not the traditional types of heroes or heroines. This isn't the uniform-wearing kind of people. These are people in their normal street clothes who are going out and deciding or choosing whether or not to do these things. The Star Brand comic really feels like what Solar will become in the near future. This the sort of passive feeling or regretful feeling, uncertainty about it, inability to fully function, and that sort of self-doubt, and it isn't strong in all of these characters. The realism isn't there, certainly not as much as it was in Valiant, but that's part of the beauty of what this is this is the laying the groundwork or the test drive or test run of what it might become. And especially because the whole new universe sort of got out of Shooter's control, I think it really lays the ground for a lot of the rumor and speculation for why he was such a tyrant under the Valiant universe. Let me take a look at the whole thing. You've got Star Brand, which is a pretty darn good comic, and Spitfire premiering in the same month. And frankly, Spitfire as a concept doesn't fit into the new universe mold, this world outside of your window, this no new technology. And it does a pretty good job of trying to establish itself in there or building on what could exist, but I think that really flies in the face of what the new universe is. It doesn't represent that world outside of your window until 1986 or whenever, when this white event occurred. It doesn't have that close-knit feel to it. So you have these other seven characters who are really of that mold, with a couple of them being put into the affected by the white event. And that's something interesting to note as well. Merc, for example, isn't affected by that. He isn't a representative of affected by the white event. And to my guess, I don't think all of the Kickers Incorporated characters are. Not that, you know, oh gosh, they're so great or anything. But it's nice to see these comics that are within this world that is closely related to ours, but don't necessarily all follow that. I think Merc is a pretty darn good example, and in the first read, I'm stunned. Stunned is maybe not, is too big a word to put on canceling the universe, but I'm a little surprised that it wasn't one of the ones that continued. I think, again, after the first read, I would probably put it ahead of Psi-Force, and probably ahead of Justice, most certainly. It's pretty good, as far as a quick read goes. And we'll come back to all of that, or whatever, when things are done. But on a first time through, Starbrand was better the second time around. I read the first issue once, and then read it again. But the second issue was much better. Spitfire, the concept is terrible. The writing is halfway decent. Psi-Force, the other way around. The concept is good, but the writing is a little juvenile. Justice seems a little too hokey, and I guess I can't get over that mullet. Nightmask has a lot of potential, but it's not living up to it. Merc, I think, is doing pretty well, and DP7 is most certainly the strongest issue, the strongest comic within this universe. But I guess what I'm coming back to or around to is watching this new universe start to develop and seeing fringy elements of it not follow that ideal or that set from the start really gives me some strong insight into why people around or speculation or whatever of the whole start of Valiant Universe really shows me why you need this, I guess, strong dictatorship or leadership or consolidated vision for a universe from the start. And first month, you have Starbrand, good idea to start with. Spitfire, I talked about that horrendous book to put next to it in the startup of the new universe. I think that cover may have killed a lot of the new universe. But truly, I think if Psi-Force was there, or heck, even Justice was up there, I think those would have been just as faulty, even though the books themselves aren't as uneven, I guess, as Spitfire. Merc, I think, is unique in this universe in a lot of different reasons. It is of this time frame, but isn't necessarily a character representative of the time frame, which is a little interesting concept. The next reason to really read this new universe is for the just train wreck feel of it all. The from a distance kind of what the heck's going to happen, or even the analysis of why a failure occurs, or the spiraling out of control of it. Either not enough centralization or too much sharing, or no one at the head of this really takes a pretty fond or good look or leap at all of this to figure out what the heck, you know, what happened here? Why is this such a spectacular failure, or why did it fail? And I think that is a pretty interesting look at comics, especially comics of the time. I mean, I'm coming back to Justice's mullet. That thing is so bad. But at the time, a nice counterplay maybe to Punisher, or certainly if not being a good counterplay, a good attempt at what might work in the universe. So you've got the fact that they are dirt cheap, the fact that they are plentiful and available, the fact that you really have some excellent writers really trying to do something with it, the fact that it's a great lead-in to the Valiant universe, and the fact that it's a pretty darn interesting train wreck. Next reason to read these is, since it sort of looked from the start, or when you get to this point, there's a closure of it, is all of these things do, in fact, close. They come to this ending, this last issue. This is where we're done. And while my guess is, and I'm spitting here, I have no idea, my guess is Nightmask and Merc were more cusp elements. Should we keep these going? Should we cancel them? There's an abruptness to the closure of it. These all end. There's a beginning, a middle, and a last issue. That's it. There's even the joke at the end, you know, number 32 in a 32-issue limited series. Or 19, in the case of Starbrand. Seeing that beginning, middle, and end feeling is particularly exciting and rather interesting, that it doesn't just hang you out to dry like Defiant, or leave you in the middle of storylines. There is a beginning, middle, and closure of it, and that's interesting. If I didn't get in, I know I didn't mention Harbinger yet, but the DP7 universe, this Displaced Paranormals, is so tightly related to what will become Harbinger in the near future, this organization of people promoting or suggesting the fact that they're going to help these individuals, and these seven individuals deciding to pull up stakes and leave. That's pretty important as far as what will come in Harbinger, and I think the selections of characters may have been more uneven, or maybe not necessarily speak as well to a group. This attempt really is a nice blueprint for what Harbinger and the Valiant universe will become. I mean, you feel those footprints all over the darn thing. Because there is this closure, and because of the time it came out, really middle 80s to, let's see, what, late 89, early 90, depending on where you put, you know, that last issue of War and all this mess. They're all single issues. You don't have those variants to find, or the chasers, I can't find my, you know, one of 800 variants, or one in 20 issues. It's all there. So if you're the kind of person who is collecting for readability, is on a budget, this is a great place to go. There's a beginning, middle, and closure, and you can find just about all of these issues. In fact, I gotta say, I was psyched that I went into my local comic book shop, and although it didn't have, I want to say it was Psi-Force, the last issue of Psi-Force in that big order I had, they had the one there, and I think I got it for 75% off, so it ended up costing me somewhere in the neighborhood of 72 cents or something totally ridiculous. It was just a nothingness. To tell you how much these have been sitting around, I'm actually reading the first issue of Psi-Force. As I'm flipping through it, came across this receipt. It lists it as, and again, the cover price on it is 75 cents. So it has a receipt in it, and goodness knows where it came from. But it's dated August 27th, 1986, and it has a 68 cent tag in it. So I'm guessing, you know, 10% off, and then 4 cents tax for a total of 72 cents. So whomever bought this took the receipt, stuck it in there, and then never read the thing. So it's been sitting in someone's garage or basement or wherever for 26 years, almost 26 years, waiting for me to come across this thing. So, I mean, these are books that literally have sat festering somewhere in someone's house. These are not things that people came back to or will come back to on a frequent basis. So as a result, you have tons of these out in the marketplace waiting for people, or with people begging to drop them off to somebody else. And that's kind of interesting in itself. Now, with that said, the new universe closing is also sort of an open-ended thing. So if you're the kind of person who likes that hunting out there, there are some hunts that you can go on to make your new universe that's complete more complete. As this new universe closed, you have a rebirth of it through a whole bunch of other separate little issues. And some of them are a little tough to find, and some of them are a little expensive, and some of them are surprise little elements. For example, Justice closes, but then comes back again in Spider-Man 2099 in, I think, 3 or 4 issues in the beginning, 12, 13, 14, and then I think in 25 or 26, the first annual, and then 42 and 44. And some of those at that closure of another dead universe, the 2099 universe of Marvel, are a little tough to find. I'm at the point of my stupid anal crazy collecting where I'm looking to find 3 or 4 of these outlying issues, and that one of the Spider-Man ones is one of them, and it's something that is not found in stock, even though it's worth, you know, $2, $3, $4, even though you could probably buy it somewhere for, you know, $6 or $8. This is something that is tougher to find. If you want your new universe, mega, super, ultra, complete, finding those may be a little bit difficult. So it has those fringe elements of those crazy collecting, or those appeared in certain places, or found in a fringe part of the collecting world ability to locate. And that's, I wouldn't say great, but if you're looking for something that's interesting, that's a place to look for it. In addition, the new universe came out in the end of, I want to say it was 2006, the 20th anniversary, came out with 6 or 8 issues in this new universal, which is, I will admit, a reimagination of almost all of these characters put up in a total separate space and then reprinted in trade paperback form or a hardback form again. But if you keep looking around, actually, these new universe characters appeared a bunch more in a bunch of different places. For example, DP7 closes out and then starts appearing in Quasar. I want to say this started somewhere in the neighborhood of issue 30, maybe 31. But this whole Star Blast crossover toward the end of Quasar and towards the closure of it, 54 to 56, somewhere in that range, this over and closure sort of starts in issue 31. These unnamed crossovers, Star Blasts, I'm reading here off of Wikipedia, the ultimate source of terribleness, but this just a slight appearance in the background. If you want to go super mega ultra crazy, you can pick up that 31 to 60 level of Quasar, where they close out all of this new universe again. And that's, I think, after Grunewald left, right? Yeah, there's this closure that falls over this whole mess. So you've got these elements there if you want to add more onto your new universe. In addition, there's the whole cameo or joke things. Talks about West Coast Avengers in the back of it, in a graveyard with members of DP7 in it, and Avengers Forever. Or Gambit telling jokes and whatever. But on top of this, through everything else, there are more appearances in the 2006 20th anniversary in, let's see, New Avengers 16, in Amazing Fantasy 18, Untold Tales, Amazing Fantasy 19. There are all of these places where these new universe characters appear for little bits or little stories following this, and some of them fill in holes. I want to say Night Mask is a place where there's a storyline somewhere in the 1 to 12 where there's a closure of that as well. So if you want to look for these other elements of New Universe, they are out there. Which may be an interesting way to put your New Universe on hold. But the last thing I wanted to talk about, it's one of the more interesting things, is this concept of the shared universe. And I'll tell you, it was one of the few things when I was an early collector that really disappointed me, was you had these popular characters, your Wolverines, and later on your Deadpools and whomevers, that just kept popping up everywhere. You'd have this group of comics one place, but for some reason Wolverine's on his own in the forest somewhere, and oh, look, they happen to run into the Avengers, or oh gosh, Alpha Flight's over here, or goodness, there's this other group of people where they happen to run in. And there isn't that with this. I mean, already I'm two issues into the whole stinking thing, and there's this micro crossover of Starbrand and Spitfire, where Ken goes out into the middle of Pennsylvania to save this kid out of a well, I guess, and Spitfire happens to be there, and immediately in the next issue, issue 2, they're referencing that they were there. They're all in this same place. And that may be one of the most beautiful things to look at for all of this, this shared universe concept. This, I'm here or you're there, and that's where this character has to be. And if we happen to run into the same place, or happen to be in the same place, then it's okay that we cross over. We're not just putting some silly, stupid character on the front of it to, you know, show or sell or put these new ones out here. In fact, I'm looking at Starbrand and Spitfire, and I know in the Starbrand comic Spitfire was in it. There is no picture of Spitfire on the cover. And I think in just the Spitfire comic, it just mentioned crossing over or talking about it, but there is no Starbrand on that cover. And in any other place, now of course these characters are brand new, no one's going to be like, oh my gosh, I've got to get this, but you've got this sharing or going over it. So, frankly, I'm kind of enjoying this read so far. It's interesting enough, it's different enough, but trying to put a hold on all of this or look for where we might go, New Universe is a place where you can see tons of this shared universe concept, this attempting, this world outside of your window, or sort of this valiant set of origin or where to go from here. You've got some pretty darn good writing or some experimental stuff. You've got the fact that it's a total train wreck. Plus, it's pretty cheap to find. relatively available, closed. It closes off at the end, but if you're interested in pursuing it more, there are all of these other options where these characters do show up, and frankly, in a limited amount. I mean, for the most part, you can find an entire cross of all of these in this interesting universe for under, I would say, more than certainly under $100 to get all of it. And you're talking about, I would say, easy 150, 200 comics when you look at all those crossovers in there. So give it a try. I'm having a heck of a time here, and certainly if you want to keep up on our blog or see what's going on here, take a look. The next time we get together, we're going to talk about where the universe is going from here. I'll have Mads back in, and she'll talk about this first month. By that time, Harbinger will be out, and we'll be looking at first issue there, plus the second issue of EXO. So those are the things to look at. If you want to get going or keep up with us, take a look back on your Spitfire and Starbrand ones, and then all of those first issues of your new universe in addition to Starbrand 1, Spitfire 1, all of your Cyforce, Justice Nightmask, Merc DP7, and Kickers Incorporated. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you later.